everyone, and welcome to Minute 66 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we take a wild trip through the 1987 John Hughes comedy, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, one minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me today is Duncan Shields, author, poet, artist, animator, and host of the Chronologically Speaking, and co-host of the Time Bandits Minute. Welcome to the show, Duncan.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Did I miss anything on that whole,
nope. You know? Well, it's all good. I'm a co-host of Animatronic, the episode-by-episode breakdown of the animated show Tron Uprising. Big fans of Tron around these parts.
Right, okay. And you mentioned something about, like, 30 years ago winning some award also in the green room. So, I don't want you to feel left out, you know.
All the way back to 1975 as a...
Yeah.
We're good.
Right. I like the fact that we're at 66, you know, Route 66, the whole idea of traveling, stuff like that. It fits in really well with the theme of this movie. So
it does. You know, my first thought was Order 66 from
that. You're right.
Star Wars. But course, Route 66 for a road movie like this is perfect.
Yes, you're right. I didn't even think I'm a big Star Wars fan, so I should have thought of Order 66 too. But, you know, I was thinking of the connection to the to PTA. So there you go. And there are no stormtroopers killing Jedis in this episode for anyone who's here by accident and thought that we're dealing with Order 66. All right, so episode 66, not Order 66, not Route 66, episode 66, starts with Del and Neil laughing away and ends with Neil being flabbergasted.
Yeah.
So we basically ended the episode on Friday where their car is has a little bit of a bonfire going on inside of it.
Yeah.
You know, and the two of them are just beyond belief. And they're so much in shock that they basically just start laughing. And that's how we left everyone on Friday. You know, there's no other way to respond. You know, sometimes you just reach a point where you're like, there's nothing I can do. I'm just going to laugh. I'm just going to laugh it off. And that's what they're doing here. You know, this is actually a bonding moment for the two of them, which is interesting because, you know, throughout the movie, they've had points here and there where they did bond a little bit. But here they both have the same reaction, which is good because most of the time they're fighting.
Yeah.
You know, they're definitely an odd couple. No question about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real classic, Candy Martin interaction here. Yeah, like I love that John Candy cut his teeth playing like hundreds of different characters in sketch comedy, like on SCTV. Because in this moment, I think him and Steve Martin are both proving that it's easier for a comedian to do a drama bit than it is for a dramatic actor to do a comedy bit.
Yeah, for sure. That we know from people like Don Rickles did it, Robin Williams. You have plenty of great comics that were able to give such amazing dramatic performances when the other way around just doesn't work.
And I'm sure there's been a lot of, you know, explorations and things written about it. Because I think comedy has to come from an innate skill rather than a learned craft. I'm sure you can learn more to make it better. But I think for a comedian, switching to earnest emotion is almost like slowing down and changing to an easier gear in some respects. I think that's, you know, because I think when you're, this is just, you know, maybe I'm projecting, but I think when you're being a comedian, you're hiding in plain sight. You're making the people around you laugh so that they don't see you.
Right.
Maybe, I think
that's the thing. It could be.
But when you actually got to take the disguise off and just be earnest, I think that's kind of like, oh, I can do that.
That's true.
That's not an issue.
An example that I would probably think of is maybe Tom Hanks. I mean, Tom Hanks is able to do comedy also, but he's much better at doing drama. And I mean, Punchline, where he's supposed to be a comedian, was just a complete flop because he just wasn't funny there. I mean,
true.
I think obviously he was great and Big. You know, that's a movie, but I think it's less there. He was doing more physical comedy because he was playing a kid.
I think of his what do you call it? Is because TV stuff like Booze and Buddies,
right?
Like his back in the day, like he got started in comedy and then kind of shifted over to drama and turned out to be like all the comparisons of him to what's the guy? The guy from I can't believe I forgot his name from It's a Wonderful Life.
Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah, a lot of people call him the modern day Jimmy Stewart because he's just so affable and approachable and has this everyman kind of quality to him. And Tom Hanks is Tom Hanks, and Jimmy Stewart is Jimmy Stewart, but
Yes.
I could see the parallel.
Yeah, completely. So basically, we ended the minute last week with Neil believing that Dell has finally screwed himself. And that's why they're laughing. And he basically says to him, well, how were you able to even rent a car? Because, this is a car that he rent that Dell rented. And we didn't see Dell in the car rental agency. We only saw Neil in the car rental agency. And
I would love to see him rent a car from Edie McClurg. I think the two of them would just be
yes.
comedy dynamite on the screen together, John Candy and Edie McClurg.
Yeah. And I mean, first of all, this whole scene, I love the cinematography here because we have great lighting and the sound. I mean, like you see they're being lit up basically by the bonfire around them. And you hear the crackling sounds the whole time of the fire, melting away their car. Whether it's the pieces of wood or whether it's the pieces of metal, like all of it is just completely just going up it's going up in smoke, basically. So I mean, at this point, Neil then says to him, I mean, you couldn't. I mean, how did you do it? And then Dell's response is, well, I gave the gal behind the counter a set of shower curtain rings. And he just starts like laughing as he's doing this. And Neil then just like it hits him and says, wait a second, that doesn't make any sense. Now, what makes me wonder is, did he also go to Marathon? Is this a car that was rented from Marathon from Edie McClure, as you mentioned earlier?
I
It
hope
made
so.
me wonder about that. Was he able to actually? He would have been before Neil because he drives up. I mean, again, we discussed this a few weeks ago that there's no logical reason for him to have actually been by the departures, after renting the car because of the. I mean, we figured out where the distance is to the car rental parking lots where they are in St. Louis, and they're nowhere near the either departures or arrivals. And and there's no
Like in
reason.
like the real world locations, you mean? Like when you
Yes.
look at Google Maps, they're very far apart.
I think they're about 3 miles away or whatever, but he wouldn't have gone into the airport in order to have to go to Chicago unless he wanted to, unless he was looking for Neil, which he probably wasn't. But he does show up there pretty quickly after Neil has basically had his whole tirade. So if
His
he rented from Marathon, he
epic
rented
tirade.
somewhere in between when Neil originally got his keys to the car that wasn't there. No, actually he didn't get the keys. He was told that the keys are inside. So he got on the bus, I guess you can say. So
I do.
I wonder how long also Dell has thought of this little lie, that he gave the gal behind the counter a set of shower curtain rings. Like,
Well,
has
this
he been
whole thing, the
thinking
way
about
it
this
plays
for
out, because
hours?
like Steve Martin, I love this slow motion here of Steve Martin realizing that what Dell just said doesn't compute.
But the question is
He's like, ah, ha, ha, shower curtain rings, shower curtain rings,
no.
shower curtain rings. But
And he
it's
goes, you,
they give it a nice like
yeah,
30
we
seconds
get
of
a, no,
him.
we don't get 30 seconds.
No, we don't get 30
There's a
seconds.
10 second pause. There is a 10 second pause, which then he says, you can't rent a car with shower curtain rings, Dell.
Yeah, and I like John Candy still he's still sticking to his guns, but his mind is kind of racing and
And he
coming
knows
up
he's
with
been caught.
nothing. Yeah, he's got the jig is up, and then but I love Steve Martin, this physical acting here where Steve Martin just puts his head, just juts his head forward like, well,
So what did you do?
and Candy looks over at the burning car. And then he confesses that he used his Neil's Diners Club card, and it wound up in his wallet.
Yeah, where
And
I
how
mean,
sorry, but in and I'm, how did the card wind up in his wallet again? Because
okay,
they
all right.
got
Well, I'll get
their
there in a second. You're right. So basically, then Dell says, "Well, somehow your Diners Club card wound up in my wallet, and I." And then Neil screams, "You stole it." He says,
That is
"Not
such a sad.
exactly."
I love his. It's this. You stole it. That was. He's got this build up to it. Is beautiful. And then I'm assuming they improv at each other a little bit here. They're just yelling over each other.
Yeah, and he goes, "You stole my card." And he goes, "No, I swear on my life, I didn't. I didn't steal your card."
Yeah.
And then he goes, "You stole my car, and then you rented a car, and then you burned it up."
Great lines.
He goes, "I
Great
did line. Not." He goes, "I found it in my wallet." He goes, "I knew you stole it." And he says, "I thought you put it there." He goes, "Why would I put it there?" And then he goes, "Kindness."
And it's such a good bit because I love a scene where actors are yelling over each other.
Yes,
because it is so natural. There's a few directors that like to do that, to have people talk over each other as they're having a conversation, which I find to be a little more natural than just waiting your turn to speak. But I love it because it gives them a chance to just almost undoubtedly they're improvising here. They're just, you know, okay, you know, you be incredible, because they're both old hands at just shooting from the hip. So they just guys go have an argument here before coming back to the script. I mean, maybe it's not
okay.
Like
well,
that.
We'll get to the script in a second because I you know, I we talked about this a little before we started recording, that the original script of the movie, which they filmed the entire thing, the script is about 165 pages, I think, and
okay.
Basically, it's a 3 hours and 45 minutes. The first cut of the film was 3 hours and 45 minutes of what they shot.
Amazing.
You know, the idea that they cut an entire movie out of this movie
pretty much
is just unbelievable. I mean, and going through this script, it's amazing some of the stuff they cut out. I mean, some of it didn't add, and I understand add to the story, and I'm very glad they cut it out. And then there are other little bits and pieces here that I like, and that's one of the reasons why in every episode I explain the differences between the what they shot
wonderful
and
Good.
What we eventually get, you know. So we'll get to that, you know, in a little
okay,
bit
cool.
while. But I you mentioned about the fact that Steve Martin does a lot of physical comedy here, and it's great because, you know, you see that. I mean, he's like bangs on the steamer trunk in frustration three times as he's talking. Also, you know, during this whole argument, there's more than just the two of them talking. There's physical reactions also. His arms are flying. Steve Martin's arms are flying in the air. You know, you know, he's just jabbing things and stuff like that.
He acts with his whole body.
Yes.
He's a very physical comic.
Yes.
Very almost like you would call like clown in the actual, you know, French artistic classic sense of the word, not in just the you know, nose honking, falling over, you know, circus, but like actual clowning, using your whole body to inhabit the character.
I mean, especially during the when he gives the line, "Why would I put it there?" You know, he's just like,
"I can't get
why
it.
Would
yeah.
I put it there?" And his arms are flailing all around and stuff like that. It's just it's hilarious.
A voice break,
yes.
You know, because it pitches up an octave. Why would I put it there? And it's like in, because doing chronologically speaking, there's a bit in Tron where they ask Jeff Bridges, like, "So why do you want to break into NCOM and steal your programs back?" And he goes, "Because, man." You know, like his voice just like pitches up and he becomes like the dude for a second. And I just
well, that's
love
Jeff Bridges.
That
Jeff Bridges likes to have his voice, you know, crack when he's, even though he's, you know, was he in his 60s now, 76, still has his voice crack when he's talking. And then, you know, it's very distinctive of him.
Yeah. And so that's what he's like, kindness.
Yeah.
He's like, kindness. Kindness, you know,
and so I mean, we can't take away from what John Candy does here. Also, I mean, John Candy, he's able to take it all, and his response, he stays calm throughout this whole thing, and his response of kindness is something is a childlike response. You know, I can imagine one of my kids saying it that way. You know, like maybe you'll buy the. My excuse that it's because of kindness, you know.
Yeah, floating this just, you know, ludicrous suggestion. Just like, maybe kindness?
Right. Okay, know, like... so you asked before, you wanted a reminder of how the credit card got switched. So when they were in the first motel, okay? Yeah. I think that was week 4. I think we discussed that. So originally Neil was going to pay for it and he gave his credit card. Okay. Yeah. And then Dell found out that he could get a discount from his card that he has. So he gave his card and his card looks very, very similar. So when the clerk gave back the two cards, the clerk mixed them up and and no one looked. Because the cards look so similar that neither one of them looked and put it in their wallets.
I remember the insert shot of the two cards beside each other.
Exactly.
And, you know, one's Diners Club and one's like, what, the Oshawa Accordion, you know, membership club or something.
No, I actually right now don't remember what it was, but I can look back in my notes and figure that out.
Maybe something state specific. Like local little card of some kind. It wasn't like another Visa or something.
No, it wasn't like a Visa. That. It was a discount card.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what discount card it was. He basically said he had a credit card for the room. And in order to use it, it's called the Oversighters Discount Club.
Oversighters Discount Club. I love it.
That's what it was called. You know, and Gus accidentally switches the cards at that point. And that's what causes this whole little comedy of errors. You know, which we get to discuss, you know, weeks later. You know, it's great how they set that up so early in the movie. I mean, it's set up in you know, within the first 20 minutes. And you have to wait another 45 minutes, 46 minutes, actually even more. You're waiting close to an hour to actually get something from that.
Nice.
Which is great. I mean, and the fact that, I mean, I asked the question then that Neil didn't notice this at all over the course of the last day and a half, that he didn't have his credit card. You know, was he using the Oversighters Club card instead, you know, when he was paying for things? I don't know. You know, it's not a real thing. I've looked it up.
Oh, his card was not real.
It's not real. There's no such thing as an Oversighters club card or something like that.
Well, considering that they are like litigiously alike in design, then I imagine that it can't exist because the actual Diners Club organization would have been like, no, that's way too close. That's obviously a shameless ripoff. No way.
Yeah. And I mean, the minute actually ends in the middle of Steve Martin's final response here. He goes, "Kindness, you," and then it gets cut off. So we don't really, you know, we'll have to wait until tomorrow to find out what he continues to say at that point. But he's fuming at this point. There's no almost as much as the car. right. So did you have anything else you wanted to say about this minute before we get into the script?
I did want to talk a little bit about my connection to Steve Martin. Do you want to do that here, or do you want to?
You can do it now if you like.
When I was 16, I grew up in a small town called Nelson, BC, here in British Columbia, in Canada, and that's where the movie Roxanne was
filmed. Ooh, I love that movie.
It's a great film, and they really showcase the city. In the film, they don't just have like a couple outdoor shots and the rest of it is on sound stages. They really showcase the actual town of Nelson and all that beautiful small town that you see in that film. That's all, you know, straight Nelson. They hardly changed any of it.
Oh, wow.
I think they changed a few of the street signs and stuff like that, but it's a heritage town. It's a beautiful city. It's set in the mountains. You walk for 15, 20 minutes, you're in the woods. A beautiful, creative, artistic, spiritual community up there. And a lot of different people that came together. It was a gold rush town, then it was a mill town, then it was filled with draft dodgers from Vietnam. So there's a lot of like hippies and artists, and then there's people buying big swaths of land outside of the city limits to start their own kind of I don't know, communes and stuff like that. So, but then
Interesting.
property values are skyrocketing. So there's a bunch of really conservative investors that are in there as well. But like they signed a petition to keep McDonald's out of the
Oh,
city,
wow.
successfully. Like when I was a kid, they were like, you can't get in here. And they put a they petitioned against ever having a Starbucks there, and they won. But then they snuck a Starbucks in as part of a Safeway, part of a shopping chain. They're like, oh, you like, so they were very
Wait, there's still, as of today, there still is no McDonald's there?
There's no
Wow.
McDonald's. There's the one Starbucks that's only shoehorned in there as part of a bigger sort of shopping chain kind of thing. Like they try their best to rely on small business and community. And that's right now with the rising property prices, there's a bit more homelessness. The city's changing. We got a bunch of wealthy retirees moving in, and the makeup's changing. But when Roxanne was filmed there, they really captured, I think, a beautiful summer, and
And
it
it's
was
all due
interesting
to
for
Fred
me.
Willard, Mayor Deeps.
It's all due to Fred Willard. It's all due to Fred Willard. So that's my that's it's been a wonderful
Wait, so
summer
did you meet
seeing.
him at that point?
Well, we saw him. We saw him, but because they would need extras for scenes like when he's saving the barn fire at the end or whatever. So there's like, and the actual like the firehouse they use in the movie is Nelson's
Oh, wow.
firehouse. So that a beautiful red brick. There was the one moment that they had where my mom was. Oh no, my mom was in a pipe band called the Kootenai Kilties Pipe Band. She played the bagpipes, and there was a bit where somebody was practicing. And the city's in a valley, right? So if you're practicing the bagpipes, like I was there one time when a car alarm woke up the entire city because it's the middle of the
Wow.
night, and there was nobody, no sound was going on, and this car alarm was like echoing up from downtown, and I'm far away from downtown, and I was like, oh my God, when is that car alarm going to stop? It wasn't just 2 blocks away, it was far away. So this guy's playing the bagpipes, and they sent a PA from the set. They're trying to film a scene at the firehouse, and they've sent a PA to like run up and find the piper because it was messing with the audio. And they said, hey dude, your bagpipes are messing with our audio. And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry, I'll stop. And the PA was like, no, Steve Martin wants you to come down.
Oh,
Can you play a little bit in the parking lot of
wow.
the firehouse there? And he's like, yes. And so he walked down and gave a little impromptu bagpipe concert to the cast and crew of Roxanne. And seeing Shelley Duvall and everybody just kicking around in there. It was a beautiful experience. So I've always got a lot of love in my heart for Steve Martin and his roles.
And
And so it's
were
like
you an
they're,
extra in the movie at all?
yeah, I think so. Somewhere in the background in one of the crowd scenes.
Oh, wow.
And my mom, it was his birthday, I think, while he was filming there. And my mom baked him, I think, a couple of cupcakes or something like that, and wanted to bring them to him, but was intercepted and was like, no, you can't just walk up to Steve Martin in the middle of a shot and give him some food. Like, we'll make sure he gets these. And he's like, she was like, okay, well, that's fine, that's fine. But then there was a story in the newspaper like 4 days later about how a giant cake had been baked for Steve Martin, and the entire town presented it to him. And he was thrilled by it.
Wow.
And so, and it was like, that's not what happened. That's not at all what happened. So it's this
Embellishment
interesting thing
of the truth. Slight
of
embellishment.
the entertainment, slight embellishment. But it was a beautiful experience to have him film. And I think the whole crew was swept away by the beauty of the town. He has a story about how he walked into this bar called the Civic, and he had his makeup
Right.
on, right? He had his notes on. And there was a place was empty except for like three giant bikers that were like day drinking at the bar, these big bearded behemoths at the bar. And he's like, oh God. So like he walks over to the bathroom, and one of them goes, hey. And he's like, oh Jesus, here we go. And he turns around, and he was thinking, here we go, here's the hey, big nose, or whatever, and the guy looks at him and goes, "Why the long face?" And And Steve Martin was like, "Oh, that's actually hilarious. That's really good." And so he that became one of the stories that he told on a lot of his press junket tours because he didn't give them credit for being smarter.
Wow,
Yeah,
very nice.
thought they were. So it was a great time. It was also a little education about movie because you'd see them walk into like the City Hall bathrooms and then come out in a nightclub that they'd filmed the interior of in Vancouver. Right, so you get to see the magic of movie editing.
Oh, cool.
But that's my connection to Steve
All
Martin.
right, thank you. That was very cool. Okay, so the script has a few minor discrepancies here, not that many, where
Yeah.
after Dell gets caught by Neil, when Neil says, "You don't rent a car with a shower curtain rings, Dell." So Dell goes, "Well, what do you want me to say?" Neil goes, "I'm giving you a chance to explain."
Yeah.
And you know, instead of a diner's club, the script talks about an American Express card instead, you know,
Right.
and the with the kindness that they both discuss here. So in we mentioned in the final cut, kindness is mentioned three times by them.
Okay.
In the original script, it's only mentioned once by Dell. And that's it.
Right.
No, the minor discrepancies in this particular thing. Later in the week, we'll have some bigger stuff that is added here and stuff like that. So
Okay.
yeah. All right. So every Monday we have a segment called Martin Monday, where my guests will
Okay.
give their top five Steve Martin films. So you see, this was the perfect day for you to tell your Steve Martin story. So now we get to
Oh,
see now we
great.
get to see where Duncan ranks. All of you know what where he ranks the top five Steve Martin films, or
Well,
your top five.
I think my
We'll
top
start with
five
number five
are
and work your way up.
start five is LA Story,
Okay.
because I really enjoyed LA Story. It's a bit dated now, but at the time I found it to be just a wonderful, wonderful film. And I don't really, care about Los Angeles that much, so it's not like I was swept up in the romance of Los Angeles. And that was the thing with La La Land, right? It was like, isn't LA amazing? I'm like, I don't know. I don't think so. I don't hate it. I'm just kind of, I don't think it's a magical
Okay.
place. But I really enjoyed that one. And then the use of bagpipes and
Yes.
some of the comedic bits. Anyway, great, great film. And oh, is it Richard E. Grant walking down the stairs while his testicles clang together? That was I love that bit. I love that bit. And Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid would be number four. I remember watching that with my dad, and he was laughing a lot harder than I was because he'd seen all the movies that they'd
Right.
edited together to be this one. So he was recognizing, the Vincent Prices and all the people that were in the film. And I didn't, 'cause I was
Right.
like 11 or something.
It's a
So I was
great
like, oh,
concept to be able to
okay.
do something like that. No question about that.
And to go that deep with
Yes.
it, to make an entire film out of that gag is
That's
astounding.
Carl
Right.
Reiner
And
for
I've
you.
been, yeah, and I'm going on a bit of a film noir kick right now because I want to see a lot more of them. So I'd like to watch Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid again, having recently watched like, 50 film noir films over the last few years.
Okay, that makes
Number three would be Roxanne because I really loved the film and I love that's just got a good place in my heart because of the experience of it. Two would be Little Shop of Horrors. His cameo is the sadistic dentist. Amazing, amazing little piece of work there. And number one would be definitely Planes, Trains, and Automobiles because it's got the whole package. It's got the dramatic stuff. It's got the comedic stuff. It's got the physicality. It's got the maudlin stuff. It's a real tour de force from Steve Martin, showcasing all of the stuff that he's capable of. And I just want to throw in an honorable mention to The Spanish Prisoner, which was a David
Yes.
Mamet movie he did where he played the villain. And I thought that was a neat turn for him. I don't think it quite worked, but I thought it was
Yeah,
like
I
that.
liked the attempt. It just didn't,
Yeah.
because also it's the type of movie that once you're aware of what the twist is gonna be, it isn't as powerful. You need to really be taken
Yeah.
by surprise by the twist. So I'm not gonna tell everyone what the twist is. So, yeah. All right, great. Thank you. So every day we have a
You're welcome.
segment called Off the Beaten Track, where either my guest or myself will give a little story about an adventure or misadventure that one of us may have had over the course of the journey of our lives. So, Duncan, you have a story for us?
Yeah, I've got several.
Well,
The one I
one
think
a
I'd
day.
like to.
You'll be here all week.
One
You'll
a
be here
day,
all
yeah.
week. So, yeah.
Yeah. The one that I like quite a lot is that. Oh, let's see. It's so hard to tell which one to go with. Okay, well, I'll just go with this one. I flew into New York, and I was priding myself on the fact that I just brought a carry-on. I didn't bring any checked luggage, so I just grabbed my bag, got off the plane, went into, and I'm Canadian, so I got to fill out a form or two to get into America. And so I went to the to, I was like first in line because I just dashed off the plane, got to where I needed to be, and I'm first in line to the customs agents. And I walk up there, and this custom agent that I got, he's he looked like he was 55, 60, silver hair, good physique, not too tall. And he had a name tag that was like Carpaccio or something like that, like a really standard New York Italian kind of looking guy with the, with an Italian last name. And he had a really strong, like Brooklyn, New York accent. And he holds up the form that I hand him, and he goes, "You see, this is a blue form, and what you need to fill out is one of the white forms. You filled out the wrong form." And I'm like, "Oh, well, I'd like to fill out the right form. Where are they?" He goes, "Well,
On
they're back in the line
the
where
plane.
they're back in the lineup where you were." And I look back, and while I've been at the counter, now there's like 40 people in the line, right? And I'm like, "Oh, geez. So I got to go back there and get a new form." He's like, "Well, I do have some forms here." And I'm like, "Well, can I have one and fill it out?" And he looks at me and he says, "Are you a fast writer?" And I'm like, yes, I am." He's like, "Well, here you go." And so like I burned through it and hand it to him, and he goes, "Yeah, that was fast writing. Welcome to New York." like lets me in. And I was just like, it's all downhill from here. Like nothing's gonna compare with just entering New York for like, I think that was my second time there, maybe my first. And that was just the best introduction. That was such a New York way to be welcomed to New
Oh,
York.
wow. Okay. Great story. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to
You're
tell
welcome.
people how they can get in touch with you?
Just go find Chronologically Speaking on the interwebs and check out that movie by Minute Experience. Time Bandits Minute, that's up there too. If you Google that, it'll come up. You can go to buyduncanshields.com. That has a link to all my sort of Twitter, Instagram, all my presences. And yeah, just take a look around. You can go to YouTube, I guess, and put in Duncan Shields Poetry. You'll see a lot of my poems on there. And
All right.
yeah, fill your roots. Take a look around, see what you can
Very
find.
cool. Very cool. And to find me is also very simple. All you do is just quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Facebook, or you can go to our website. So, Duncan, you want to come back again tomorrow?
I sure do.
All right. Well, until then, you're fine.
You're